And welcome back. Go to Rents.com at guests and click on Richard Sauder's name to go find out about his remarkable books that you can get. And you're going to want to share these. They're very unusual. Certainly the Underground Tunnels and Underground Bases, Underwater Bases book is unprecedented. No one else has done the research that Richard has. And again, he doesn't engage in speculation. That's too easy. He puts it all together with facts, pictures, documentation, and documents that show that our tax money has been working for decades. Just keep in mind, those of you who may have seen that Fate magazine article, or were paying attention last hour, what the Nazis did in the 1930s. This was an amazing tunnel system. Richard, when you saw that article, did it surprise you at the technical competence of what was shown in the pictures and the descriptions?
No, it really didn't. Because I had known of the Nazis' underground excavations during that period, I was a little surprised that they had been doing that back in the 1930s, but I wasn't too surprised. It'd be my guess that, because after all, remember, there were large subway systems that had already been constructed.
That's right.
And in use for decades by that time in cities such as London.
Well, that's what these tunnels look like. They actually look like actually larger, but they look like full-blown large subway tunnels.
It wasn't technology that was unknown. Mm-hmm. It was just that in this case, it was built for, military purposes. That's what made it a little unusual.
Right.
Fact of building lengthy, miles-long tunnels with electric trains operating them was not unusual because that was already a technology in use in major cities and known. But I hadn't known that the Germans had built that particular system. It'd be my guess that there are other systems like that. And you were talking a few minutes ago about the stories regarding a purported clandestine deep tunnel systems right here in the United States. And indeed, I have heard these stories. I've read some of these articles that you mentioned. I've found them very interesting. It would be my guess that that's possible. I would also guess at the same time that a great deal of this information that's been put forth is disinformation, in that while there may be some truth in it, I doubt that any one of these alleged tunnel maps, secret tunnel maps, that you can find in magazines or on the internet and so forth, accurately depict what's really there.
Well, the fun thing to speculate upon is, let's say they're only 25% accurate, we still have some pretty interesting things down there.
Yeah, I think there is a grain of truth in these stories. I think there probably are some secret tunnels. I've seen enough, I've researched enough, I've talked to enough people that I feel pretty comfortable saying that.
If the Pentagon wanted to build a tunnel, let's say from Colorado Springs to Southern California, just for the sake of example, and had state-of-the-art tunnel boring machines, and they wanted to do this secretly, how long would it take them? And assuming that the general building of underground structures isn't too difficult at depth because it's a fairly stable medium you're working in when you're down there, I would think.
Assuming you don't run into some water.
Water, yeah. How long would it take to drive one of these huge machines the distance, let's say 1,000 miles, just for the sake of it?
To begin with, I doubt if one machine would be used. From what I've read, this is a question that has been posed in the open tunneling and underground excavation literature on at least two occasions that I have seen, albeit not under the guise of a secret Pentagon system or a secret system at all, but under the guise of making an actual interstate deep underground transportation tunnel system.
Right, a transit artery. Okay.
Yes. And to answer your question, the scheme that I have seen would involve doing it in segments. So suppose you were going coast to coast. That's about, east to west, about 2,500 miles, give or take something. Now, how would you do that? Well, you would do it in 100 25-mile segments using 100 machines. Or you could use 200 machines and have each machine do 12.5 miles and meet one another in the middle, so to speak. And then you would just stitch these segments together.
Ah, I see.
Now, if you were going to do this in a clandestine manner, it would be my guess that either you would not announce it whatever, or that if you couldn't totally disguise it, that you would do the parts that could not be totally disguised under the guise of tunneling for a train tunnel or
irrigation water or something. Yeah.
Or a sewage tunnel,
uh-huh.
Or something like that. Or a subway. Suppose you were transiting the Denver metropolitan area or, you know, the L.A. metropolitan area or something. You might do that 25-mile segment under cover of building the subway.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
you might well be building the subway, but if you understand my meaning here, mm-hmm. in addition to building the subway, you would do a little on the side extra, only that would be concealed under the noise and rubble and general hubbub,
sure.
of the larger civil, more public civil construction project.
How fast can these huge machines move through the ground?
Well,
it's certainly variable, but just
the ones that from my review of the literature, and I cover this in underwater and underground bases. In good rock, you could make maybe 10 miles a year. In bad rock, four, maybe 5 miles a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think then, suppose you wanted to make a system from the mountains in Colorado over to the coast somewhere in California or Nevada, several hundred miles, you know, in the 500 to 1,000 mile range. Could you do that in 10 years? Oh, yeah, sure. That's feasible.
Mm-hmm.
And you would use multiple machines. Multiple machines.
Which
you wouldn't have one machine mm-hmm. that would do 500 miles because at the rate of 5 to 10 miles per year, it would take centuries. So you would use multiple machines, and each machine would do its own little 5, 10, 15-mile segment, and you'd stitch them together. And that way you would make a lengthy hundreds of miles long tunnel.
The people hearing hums, and we've had so many reports, you've had more than I, I'm sure, of underground noises, sound like explosions and so forth. People have heard these all over the country.
Well, really all over the world, Jeff. It's not limited to the United States. Could some of this, if I can follow up the implication of your question, could some of this be attributed to clandestine underground excavation? I think in some cases, yes. Although not in all cases, I'm sure there are natural explanations as well for some of these sounds that are heard. But could some of them be due to covert underground excavation or tunneling? Yeah, I think so. I think possibly.
Could some of them be due to underground tunneling and excavation by non-human intelligence?
You know, I don't rule that out either. On the other hand, I don't rule it in. I don't have...
Sound like Yogi Berra there for a minute.
Yeah. I have, you know, I've heard a lot of stories in that regard. Maybe you have too. And you can certainly find books and magazine articles and websites that deal with this. And I mostly don't deal with that because I really can't either conclusively prove or disprove, number one,
mm-hmm.
that aliens or ETs are here, though I think they might be, or number two, having, you know, based on the answer to number one, I can't prove or disprove that said purported aliens or extraterrestrials are hard at work underground tunneling and burrowing away. Now, they might be, but I don't have any information about that. Now, what I do have plenty of information about is human beings tunneling and burrowing away underground. Therefore, that's what I discuss. That's the documentation that I devote my time and energy to. And you know, Jeff, in and of itself, that has proved to be very interesting and eye-opening, not only for me, but for the many thousands of people now who have read what I've written and continue to. And even I, you know, tonight, preparing for this interview, I was flipping through my book, most recent book, Underwater and Underground Bases, and looking at some of the documentation and the illustrations, and I was thinking to myself, you know, my God, is all of this true? And then I had to think, well, I guess it is, because I've accumulated all this documentation, yeah, all these illustrations, uh-huh, and articles from engineering journals, etc. And yes, it is true. It's just amazing.
It truly is amazing, and it's all out of sight, all underneath us. And we'll come back and talk a bit more about these amazing machines, which now might have the capability of being nuclear powered. Certainly that potential is there. But even beyond that, other types of technology which could drive them forward through rock and create such heat potentially in front of them that the rock that they are boring through could actually be melted and reduced in its mass and extruded in a almost perfect tube around the tunnel machine as it moves through the rock, like glass. There's an amazing potential at work and could very well be being used right now. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, right back with Dr. Richard Sauter, PhD. Click on Richard's name at the top of Rents.com, and you go right to the information on how to get his books. They are both remarkable. What about some of these machines that cost millions and millions and millions, and the technology that might be propelling them now? And again, about that issue of actually melting rock and reducing it in mass, because rock is not solid. It may seem like it, but... could
you know,
potentially,
Jeff,
go ahead.
Back in the 1970s, there was some fascinating work done on this, developmental engineering work that was done on this at the Los Alamos National Laboratories in northern New Mexico. And the research team there indeed came up with some designs that they patented for nuclear-powered tunnel boring machines that would, because of the intense heat that would be generated by a small nuclear reactor, would circulate liquid lithium through their cutting head and actually melt the bedrock as this machine moved through it, and then would plaster the resulting melted rock against the walls of the tunnel, and as the machine moved along, this would cool into an obsidian-like, almost a volcanic-like glass that would be very smooth. It really would be a glass because of the high silica content of rock, terrestrial rocks. And it would have incredible strength because it would be pressed into the fractures of the rock that would be created as the massive weight of this machine moved along and put pressure on the surrounding rock strata. And thus it would have a really great structural integrity,
mm-hmm,
and would also seal the tunnel against the inflow of water. So this technique showed a lot of promise, but I tell you, I've looked and the paper trail just dried up long about 1979 or so, and it just disappeared. Or did it? I leave open the possibility that this technology advanced beyond the design stage, beyond the experimental stage, and perhaps was really scaled up into working models. And for all I know, such machines are secretly being used. If they are in use, they are being used covertly and not on public civil engineering projects that would come to light in the popular press.
It's quite an image when you think about it.
I've looked and I can't find it, any information like that, and I don't rule out that they may be in secret use. I consider that possible.
Creating lava, or in a way, and
it would be artificial, kind of an artificial lava, but because of the great heat, it would actually be more like obsidian, which is a volcanic glass created. The great heat of volcanic activity will create large quantities of obsidian, which is it can be a very dark, shiny type of glass that you'll find in volcanic regions. But in this case, the volcano would be, if you will, an artificial nuclear-powered tunnel boring machine that would generate the heat not from great magma chambers deep underground, but from the nuclear reactor that it would carry within it as it crept along underground. And I underscore, I can only document that developmental design and experimental work was carried out for this technology at Los Alamos in New Mexico back in the 1970s. If it was scaled up into working tunneling machines, that has been done secretly.
I've always wondered about tunnels, and if, as you mentioned early, they happen to encounter some water and an underground tunnel hits a major water source.
That can be dangerous.
And gets flooded. Not only dangerous, but how do you pump something like that out if the water coming in is more or less endless?
Well, you wouldn't pump it out is the answer. Number one, if you know where such water-bearing strata are, you try to avoid them. If you can't avoid them, then, of course, if the water comes in, it'll flood the tunnel. It'll flood the tunnel boring machine.
End of project right there anyway.
Well, it could be, yeah. I mean, there's been more than one project that has run into this problem. But commonly what they do is try to find out where the trouble is going to occur. And if they can't avoid it, they staunch the water flow. They plug up the aquifer. They pump concrete in there and block it off and grout it, if you will. And that way they put a plug in there and they keep the water from flowing in. And then once they put a strong, impermeable lining on the tunnel, it pretty well seals it and takes care of the problem. But yes, you're right. That is or can be a problem in tunneling, running into underground streams of water. Sometimes it can spell the end of a tunnel project, but with the advances that have been made in geological surveying, this is not as much a problem today as it was years ago.
Well, we have thermal imaging technology now that can, image the ground down to a kilometer or more. And they can get a complete 3D look at the whole substrate.
Nowadays, they have a pretty good idea what they're going to run into before they run into it.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll ask Richard to bring us up to date on maglev systems, and then we'll talk about his other book in our next half hour. Okay, and so for the latest, you're going to find all documented underwater and underground bases. Click on Richard Sauter's name and the price for an autographed copy of the book, $20, for either underwater and underground bases or Kundalini Tales. You can get both for $35. Kundalini Tales, Richard, is again another unique book. You don't put out things anybody else does.
No, and you know, Jeff, I would say perhaps the biggest impetus to write Kundalini Tales came from an incident that occurred to me in 1992. It was over the holidays, and I was sleeping very deeply when I was suddenly awakened for a reason that I couldn't perceive at the time. And as I lay there in the dark, wondering why I had awakened so suddenly, I all of a sudden heard a voice say very distinctly in my ear, "The underground bases are real." And I mean, this is quite a surprise. I'm not accustomed to hearing voices, you know, very intelligibly speak to me, ostensibly out of thin air. And the voice seemed to be in my inner ear, not inside my head, at the same time, not outside in the room, but right in my inner ear. It sounded much like the voice you would hear on a little earpiece that you would attach to a transistor radio.
Uh-huh.
And the man who was speaking to me went on to say that he didn't call me by name, but he gave me some interesting information. And what he divulged to me was, indeed, there are these secret underground installations and facilities. And there are a lot of people down there working and carrying out various activities, projects, and programs, some of which are highly unusual and strange, and that the average person would be very surprised and astonished to know about this, except that the average person is clueless, out of sight, out of mind, in other words. And he went on to say, the picture he laid out for me, the scenario he laid out for me, was one of great scope and great physical depth. And he spoke about 2 or 3 minutes along this lines, along these lines, and then stopped as abruptly as he had begun. And I was left laying there in my bedroom in the middle of the night wondering, what in the world is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Who is this guy? How did I hear his voice? And is what he told me true? Can this be factually true? Now, I thought at the time that I would never find out who spoke to me, and indeed that may prove to be the case. I never thought that the person who spoke to me was anything other than a flesh and blood, living and breathing human being. An American, by the way. The voice, the accent was American.
Uh-huh.
And I still believe that to be the case. I also had the very real intuition at the time that it was not a psychic or telepathic experience, but rather I was hearing the voice via some nuts and bolts technological means. At the time, I didn't know what that means was. But through subsequent research, which I lay out both in Kundalini Tales and also in Underwater and Underground Bases, I uncovered a patent, and I reproduced the patent in detail in Kundalini Tales, along with the language of the patent. And the patent forthrightly says that it is intended for the broadcast via pulsed microwave transmission of intelligible speech to the human brain. Now, this is highly interesting because the apparatus that is described and the schematic diagram that is laid out very closely mirrors what happened to me, so closely that I'm inclined to believe that the person who spoke to me used a device very similar to what is described in the patent. It's called apparatus and method it's called hearing device. Simply hearing device.
An innocuous little name that is. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Plain English translation, brain transmitter.
We're talking exactly about voice-to-skull microwave broadcasting directly targeted to an individual.
It says the multi-frequency microwaves are applied to the brain in the region of the auditory cortex. By this method, sounds are perceived by the mammal, and the schematic diagram shows they had a human head in silhouette, so we know what type of mammal is meant, which are representative of the original sound received by the microphone. In other words, the operator speaks in the microphone, the pulsed microwaves are beamed to the target subject's brain, and to said target subject hears whatever is broadcast via the microphone. And I am now 100% persuaded that's what happened to me. I was approached after a talk I gave in Los Angeles a number of years back by a gentleman who said that he had not long been out of the military. He declined to identify which branch and which unit he was in. However, he did tell me that the unit that he worked with used transmitters, brain transmitters, such that I describe.
Oh.
I asked him, I tried, of course, to follow up on that, but he declined to give much more information. But I was persuaded of his sincerity. To me, he was very believable. I didn't feel that he was trying to con me or put me on in any way. And given my experience, it's not hard for me to believe that this technology is out there because I have a personal experience with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have spent some time on that as well on the program in the past and on the website. And as you have pointed out, the documentation is there.
Well, I have a 100-page appendix in the back of Kundalini Tales where I reproduce multiple patents. Official United States patents for these electronic mind control and mind broadcast and brainwave manipulation technologies.
Sure,
I've
you
got
bet.
Diagrams for the hardware.
Yeah, all right. People also, we'll be right back, but people do point to the Gwen Towers with concern. People also point to satellites with concern and even a van parked across the street from your house with concern. All these technologies apparently have been developed and deployed and are usable and are probably being used, and very few understand it. We'll be right back with Richard Sauter, PhD. Sauter, whose book Kundalini Tales presents a wealth of information on electronic mind control and manipulation. And when you folks sit and watch television or listen to that radio and any electronic or visual medium that makes noise, there are probably other things enfolded and embedded in that audio signal you're receiving that you'll never know about. But not only that, but it's not regulated, subject to no oversight, nothing. It's a wide open technology,
and these intrusions in our awareness, in our consciousness,
right,
are also hard to detect, Jeff.
Exactly.
You need very sophisticated audio and electronic equipment even to detect them, and even if you have the equipment, you have to know how to use it. And
right,
how many people have the equipment?
Oh, very few.
And how many people are audio or electronic engineers?
Very few.
Very few of us.
Yeah. What about the Gwen Towers, Richard, which were built every, 100, 200 miles over much of the United States at one point, allegedly, ostensibly, as some kind of a survival military technology system?
Yes. They were for emergency communication in the event of a real nuclear war.
Yeah, nuclear war.
And I believe they're still there. I'm almost more worried by the proliferating cell phone towers. They're just everywhere. They're popping up everywhere.
Well, you did maybe you saw, maybe you did not, maybe you even sent me a notice of the story, but in the UK, I believe it was McDonald's and another food chain which admitted to putting out cell phone microwave emissions from hidden transmitters on their buildings.
Yes, or in their signs out front.
Yeah.
You know, right in the Golden Arches.
Yeah.
And yes, this is something that...
Let me pop in with one idea.
Go ahead.
You drive by the Golden Arches, and there could be very well, I'm not saying there is, but there could be a directive coming from those Golden Arches that you are hungry and you want to drive into McDonald's. It's real simple. I mean, that's a pedestrian way to use it, but that may be.
I don't know. We're living in a very strange time, and I have come to understand that the technology for controlling and manipulating human consciousness and awareness is very advanced, and it is being implemented now. It behooves us, one and all, to understand that very clearly. One of the ways that you can begin to educate yourself is go to Jeff Rentsch's website, click on my name in the, near the upper left-hand side, and get my book, Kundalini Tales. I lay out the patents. You can look at them, examine them. One of the patents I have describes a method and an apparatus for actually remotely, electronically extracting brainwaves from a human brain, digitizing them, altering them in a computer, then rebroadcasting them back into the target subject's brain. And method for remotely monitoring and altering brainwaves. Now, is that scary?
No, that's amazing. And
this
when
is the
what
technology that's out there?
What
now.
Year was that patent?
Oh,
approximately.
I'll tell you exactly. 1974.
Well, what 27 years? What's happened in the interim? I think you people can imagine.
This was the technology as it was, you know, 20, 25, 27 years ago. There's been a lot of progress made in electronic engineering in the interim.
Truly, and one particular area where a lot of that will probably be used, and certainly some of it was used, would be over in the Gulf War theater, as they call it, which is one of the largest living life and death battlefield weapons technology laboratories of them all.
Yeah, not only there, but you have to understand that the assault will be two-pronged. There's an assault that's being planned against the Iraqi people, and I pray and hope that it doesn't happen. And we should work to make sure it doesn't. But there's another prong to that two-pronged assault. And the other prong is directed at the American people. We are also under assault. Our consciousness, our thoughts, our feelings are all also being very actively manipulated in a very negative and violent way to desensitize us to this massive slaughter of our fellow human beings, so that we will shut up and just go along with it, or even worse, actively support it. Now, knowing what's going on and knowing what kind of technology is out there and is being employed by these dark souls, we need to put on, so to speak, our mental armor and make an extra effort to not permit ourselves to be mentally manipulated. Does it take extra effort? Does it take extra understanding? Yes, but we will be better persons for it. In fact, we will be functioning persons as opposed to manipulated sheep.
Indeed. This concept of dealing with mass consciousness from above, from ground level, is almost old hat for a lot of these advanced weapon systems people. The idea of controlling minds is every bit as important as blowing up buildings in some
cases.
Yes, it
is. Yes, it is. And how are you going to get people to go kill for you unless you so twist their mind that they think it's a good thing to go blow other people arm from limb and to be blown arm from limb in return? That's ghastly. That's fiendish. It's demoniac.
Well, that fiendish ethic is well evidenced in some of the so-called video gaming world, which has put to work the programmers who worked for the Army and the military
to teach these. A lot of that too.
Yeah,
it's mind programming.
Sure.
It's desensitization to the suffering of our fellow humans, and so we need to resist that. We need to strengthen our minds and deepen our understanding so we see what's happening,
yeah,
and take steps step so that we're not susceptible.
You know,
to
with the din of what has been called by others, I'm not the first, but right-wing hate radio, racist hate radio, with that din having been so loud, I think Americans would need to understand that they are being conditioned on a mass scale, by no other means than repetition. You hear it over and over again.
It's done in multiple ways. You know, that's almost a hypnotic type of technology there. You are getting dumber. You will kill when I tell you to kill, and you will think it is good for you to do that. And when you hear so many so-called authority figures say that so many times, it gets drilled deep into your subconscious. So that's one way, the hypnotic technique of repetition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there are also these audio and electronic technologies, and they're out there. I mean, for God's sakes, Jeff, I got the patents. They're in my books in black and white.
Yeah.
This is also out there. Then there are the techniques like the video games that are definitely being used.
Oh, yeah.
And then there are techniques like the chemicals in our food and our drinking water, which also have psychoactive properties,
right,
and do affect our brain.
Well, they can predispose people to the conditioning that comes through all the other media. It's just an amazing and utterly out of control. Well, or is it totally in control? It depends on which side of the mind control ledger you're standing.
And it depends on how aware each of us want to be. Anyone listening to this broadcast who's never been exposed to this information before, at this point, has a choice to open their mind and think thoughts they haven't before and have realizations that they never had before and raise their consciousness to a new level of awareness and understanding, or they can participate in their own dumbing down and say, oh, that's foolish. That's nonsense. Those
and
guys don't
grab
know
for the TV
about.
Remote. That's right.
We all have a choice. We all decide. What did Jesus say a long time ago? Let those who have ears to hear, hear. Let those who have eyes to see, see. We all decide how intelligent we want to be.
It's really that simple. And if you've got a television, just keep in mind, the next time you walk into a room and other people are watching one, how powerful that medium is. I still say it's the most powerful technology ever unleashed on humankind, at least to date. It grabs you and makes you, it commands you to watch it. So you're in the hands of people who do not necessarily have your best interests at heart. Richard Sauter's books, again, connected right to his name at the top of Rents.com. Please, by all means, take a look at those. And if you'd like to get both copies, $35, and Richard will autograph them to you and send them right back. The information is right there. There's no better way to find out about what's happening under your feet. And if you are one of those people, and there are many who hear things and feel things and suspect things are going on, well, you're 100% right. And you can do something about finding out about that by checking the patents. See what the patent trail is. Underwater and Underground Bases and Kundalini Tales by Dr. Richard Sauter. Richard,
Jeff,
thank you.
Yes, if I could briefly ask
Please.
One more thing. In Underwater and Underground Bases, I cite extensively from an official United States Navy document from 1966 and provide illustrations from it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That very explicitly talks about the construction of manned undersea bases deep beneath the seabed. This is down beneath the sea floor, hundreds of miles out to sea, that can accommodate submarines. And mind you, this is from, what are we talking about? 34, 35 years ago?
More, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yep.
That's what's out there.
Wow. Fascinating. Thanks, Richard. Take care, and I really appreciate you staying in touch with me at Rents.com and suggesting some great stories for our listeners.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Take care. Richard is quite an observer of the media and the flow of data that's coming across it. Glad to have him back on tonight. We'll pause and come right back with a special hour that many of you have asked to hear again, so we're going to bring it to you. The man who can talk to animals, Mr. Bill Northern. So stay tuned for that.